Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to share with you a neat story that is written by Dr. Luke. It's in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. And this is a story that takes place after the resurrection. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other?" And looking sad, one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said, "What things?" Then they shared all that had happened. And he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they draw near to the village to which they were going, and they urged him to stay with us, for it is toward evening. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and others, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed." Well, I don't remember now what happened that morning which caused our son Nathan to decide to strike out on his own in the world. To him, though, it must have been significant. He was 7 years old at the time. But there he stood before us with traveling bags slung over his shoulder, packed with some clothes, no food or no money, but with an ample supply of books. He was quite the reader, and still is. As he announced that he was running away from home, he was upset. Things weren't going the way he felt they should. We could see the hurt and determination all over his face from something that had happened. His hopes and dreams no longer seemed to be there at home, so he was leaving. It was the polite thing to do, to at least let us know, so we wouldn't worry later when we found him gone. He was always thoughtful that way, still is. And we couldn't change his mind from his decision to leave at that moment of his young life. And so, as his mother and I watched from the living room window, he began his journey out onto the sidewalk, into the cul-de-sac, down the street, leading away from all he knew, running from some disappointment to where he didn't know, just away from home. The wind blew through his long, straight hair while his brisk gait seemed to signal a clear conscience, focused thoughts, and little worry as his plan to run away from it all began to take root and unfold before him, step by step. Until he reached the second mailbox on the street from our house. We watched with a smile as his steps slowed to a halt. We could tell from a distance as he stood there looking at that mailbox that he remembered. He wasn't allowed to go past the second mailbox on the street. Whether playing or riding his bike, it was always clear he could go no further than the second mailbox from our house. Linda and I would have given anything to be able to peer into that whirring brain at that moment and watch the thoughts bounce around as he wrestled with his unexpected conflict so early in his journey. How could he run away from home if he couldn't go past the second mailbox from the house? If he went any further, he'd be in trouble. But if he didn't, then his commitment to leave on his journey to a new life was over. What should he do? Where should he go? Those were just some of the thoughts that danced in his precious head at that moment, as we would learn from him later. We continued to watch through the curtains as the scene unfolded, and as he sat down on the curb in the shadow of that second mailbox and wrestled with the first real dilemma in this, his new life. And then all of the moments of the past came into clearer focus for him, and he remembered who he was. And whatever had occurred that morning that had caused him to leave didn't seem all that bad now, especially if he could avoid adding to it by going beyond the second mailbox from the house. We watched as he got up from his seat on the curb and slowly made his way back to the house and to our awaiting arms. In that moment, Nathan came face to face with who he was. On his road out of town to get away from it all, he remembered who he was and what was important, and it happened at an unexpected moment at the second mailbox down the street. And in that moment, he found comfort and hope again for that day and the next as he turned and came home. In the scripture that I read earlier, we find two men, followers of Jesus, leaving Jerusalem, running away, one Cleopas, the other unnamed. Maybe you or me. Maybe we could just fill in our name in that blank. They had seen their hope for the coming of God's kingdom crucified on Friday like a common criminal on a cross on a hill called Calvary. Even though it was Sunday and they had heard rumors of a resurrection, it was still Friday to them. They had left everything behind when they decided to follow Jesus, and now he is dead. And so where will they go? Anywhere but here, they thought, where their lives had now fallen apart. They could take any of several roads to get away. The one to the north leads to Ephraim, but that was too far, they decided. The road east led to Jericho, and that was too dangerous. They understood thieves and robbers were all over that road. The one to the south led back to Bethlehem, but there are too many reminders there of what they are now trying to forget. And so they go west toward Emmaus. It's the road they took to get away from it all. It's that road by whatever name and the direction that we take when we quit, when the only thing we seem to have left in life is to leave, to give up, to hide, to run away. That road, that's the road we take. But they met someone along the way. He asked what they were talking about. They wondered how in the world this guy could not have heard of all that was going on the last 3 days in Jerusalem. And so they tell him the whole horrible story of what occurred. Then he began to share the scriptures with them. The sun was beginning to set as they walked along, and so they asked him to stay and eat with them. And after he blessed the bread and gave it to them, their eyes were opened to who he was, the Christ. Notice that at first they never saw Christ because they never looked for him. They had already given up. They were preoccupied with their own despair, their own dashed hopes and frustrated plans. They were running away. But later, their hope was renewed when they saw him for who he was. And that was enough. That was enough to give them strength for the day, enough to believe, enough to return them to Jerusalem to share the good news of the now risen Christ that they had seen, to share it with others. At some point in our lives, we've all been where Nathan and those two disciples were, all of us, broken, disappointed, dreams dashed, consumed with the problems of our days, despair has set in. And so we want to quit, to leave, to run away on our own road to Emmaus, to wherever. We've lost a loved one and don't know how to fill the void and the emptiness. We're discouraged as a parent, worried for the future of our children or our grandchildren in a scary and changing hard world. Relationships are broken. Careers are off track. Finances are low. We've all been there, where we've reached rock bottom, and the only way out seems to be to run, to quit, to head out on the road to Emmaus. All hope is gone. We've all been there, finding ourselves in the depths of despair or having compromised the values we should live by and where we know inwardly that we are not what we appear to be outwardly to others. We have all taken the roads labeled by society as the roads to success, the roads to happiness, the roads where we'll find our own shining moments, the roads to wealth, satisfaction, and fulfillment, realizing along the way or when we get there that they were all dead ends and not satisfying. and not fulfilling. And while doing that, we end up sacrificing and losing the things that are truly important, the things that matter most and are of lasting and eternal value in our lives. At some point, we have all reached the second mailbox in our lives and found ourselves sitting on the curb by the side of the road, feeling defeated and confused as life seems to be passing us by, trying to figure it all out and wondering which way to go. It's then that we need to remember who we are, our blessings and roots, and whose we are. It's then that we need a fresh encounter, an eternal encounter at the second mailbox on the road with the risen Christ, and to return home to his awaiting arms so that he can walk forward with us into the life that we were meant to and created to live. The message of Easter is that Christ is alive and will meet you on whatever road you're on to place your feet onto the road to hope, to a changed life of meaning and impact for today and every day. And it will happen in so many places, but for sure it will happen when we find ourselves at the second mailboxes along the journeys of our lives. Look for him there, my friends, sitting next to you on the curb. He has always been there and always will be. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the eternal reminder that Easter provided us a few days ago. But Easter is not just a few days ago. Easter is every day. The risen Christ, the hope through resurrection, the hope of the life eternal that you provide for us when we accept you as our Savior and Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for being there. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for continuing to walk with us and poke us and move us to where we need to go. Thank you for the healing that's taken place with a dear friend in Atlanta, for the healing that's taken place with a family in Dallas and a young man who's in a new place. Pray your hand of continued blessing on him and on them. Thank you for the power and the peace you provide us through the eternal assurance that you have given us through your Son, and through the resurrection that we remembered 2 days ago. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for always being with us. Thank you for walking with us, reminding us, and more than that, thank you for always being there on the curb when we reach those second mailboxes in our life. Help us to see you and sit with you so you can move us on. Lead us forward into all that we were meant to and created to be, with you and for you and for others. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.